James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father God, that has the power to change us, to change the way we think, the way we act, the way we speak. Father, as I minister, I thank you would minister through me, speak through me. Lord, less of me, more of you. God, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would know you better. We would find freedom in the truths that you speak to us. We would find purpose in our lives. And Father God, that we would go out from this place making a difference in every area that our lives touch. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So praise God. We've been talking about prayer for the last several weeks. And of course, the reason why we are talking about prayer is, first of all, prayer to a Christian is like breathing. Right? It should be. But it's so many people don't actually fill up their lungs and really, really breathe deeply. And just in the natural, we see that in our world. We see that sometimes people start to have health issues because they haven't really taken in a deep, deep breath. And so when it comes to prayer, we can always get better, right? We can always learn some more truths. As I always like to say, when we come to church, when we come, anytime you hear the Word of God, anytime you turn on a podcast that somebody's preaching, you turn on the TV, a YouTube video, whatever the case may be, if somebody is preaching the Word of God, there are one of two things that could happen, and maybe both. And that is a new belief about God will be formed because you never saw that before. It was an aha moment. How many of you ever had one of those? You're like, you're reading the Bible or you're listening to somebody preach on something. You're like, I never saw that, right? It still happens to me. I don't know how many times I've read the Bible through and I've been in the ministry now almost 40 years. I know I'm showing my age when I say something like that, right? But in 1985, I actually started in the ministry, so 39 years this spring. And so with that said, every time you approach the Word of God, you might hear something new. You might also get something reinforced into your life. Something that you already knew, you were already established, you already learned it. Maybe you learned it 30 or 40 years ago, but it's like, yes, yes, that's stronger now because I heard it. And I heard the anointing on God's word, and it made me stronger, right? It made my conviction about that particular issue or that particular verse, it made it stronger. And you're like, yes, yes, I know that. I know I'm standing on that verse, right, Miss Avril? I'm standing on that verse, right? And so these are the things that happen. And so when it comes to prayer, the last several weeks we have talked about in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, I went through how we need to be full of the Holy Spirit and stay full of the Holy Spirit, to be aware of our culture and everything around us. Pastor Christine, she then hit week number 2 and just hit it out of the park with just an awesome message. God just really used her. Remember the rope illustration, right? And remember the fact that if we're going to get to the greater works, we have to use the name of Jesus. We have to actually approach our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. How many have been practicing that and making sure that when you're praying that you are approaching the Father in heaven, our Heavenly Father, approaching Him in the name of Jesus? And John chapter 14 says, and you'll ask what you will and what it shall be done. See, that's full of faith. That's full of God's power. And the Holy Spirit is in that. And so that was week number 2. And then last week I brought you back again to Ephesians chapter 5 about staying full of the Holy Spirit and how when we allow the Holy Spirit, remember the illustration of the stuff getting out of our lives when the Holy Spirit washes over us and God's called us to be light. That's what it said in Ephesians 5, that you've been called to be light in this world. But what happens is the culture gets in, wrong thinking gets in, stuff comes, right? Because if faith comes by hearing the Word of God, guess where doubt comes? By hearing the exact opposite, right? So doubt and unbelief come when we feed along the lines of garbage music, you hear me say that, or garbage movies, and we're just filling ourselves with things that undermine the faith that God wants us to have so that we can walk in the power and the victory and that we can know our Heavenly Father like never before. Our goal should be every time we come to our Heavenly Father, every time we come to Him, it's, God, I want to know You better. I want to know You deeper. I want to discover more things about You. I want to be right in the middle of whatever You're doing, God.
Yes.
And if you make that your prayer, I'm telling you, it will change your life. It will change the direction of your life. And as a young man, I remember I prayed that prayer, and God's had me pick that one up again. He's had me pick. I'm almost 60, and He's had me pick up the same prayer, but with a different focus. I'm like, because I know Him over these last, close 40 plus years. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior in 1980. And so over these last, almost 45 years, I've learned a lot about Him. I've discovered His love. I've experienced His forgiveness. I've experienced His joy. I've had a wonderful, wonderful Christian life. But God's like saying, I want to show you more. I want to show you more. Because it's not over yet. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not over yet.
It's not over yet.
But how are we going to discover and know Him better? Today I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit is our help in prayer. He is our help in prayer. You're not alone when you pray. You're not alone, right, Miss Iris? You're not alone when you pray, right? Brother Jim, you're not alone when you pray. When you pray, the Holy Spirit on the inside takes hold, and you begin to see things in the Spirit of God. God begins to bring images, and it's not up here. You're not manufacturing anything. You've heard me say it before. A lot of times people say, well, God said this to me, God said that to me, God said this to me. And you're like, I wonder what's wrong with my prayer life? God doesn't say all that to me. But if you'll stop and listen and learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit, He's always talking.
Yeah, true.
He's always talking. And if you'll allow your mind to get a little bit more quieted, but we're so distracted. We live in this massive ADHD culture where our attention span is like this, right? It's like, oh. Well, that's yesterday's news. Oh, we've already moved on, And so God wants to get our attention. Turn with you to John chapter 14. We've been hanging out there a lot in this series on prayer because it's important. It's really important. We just read out of James 5 where it says the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. What does that mean? That means it's powerful, it's effective, it gets results. So now, how are we going to get those kind of results? Well, we talked about being full of the Holy Spirit. We talked again about using the name of Jesus. Not flippantly calling out Jesus Christ when something bad happens, but truly, truly watching how we use the name of Jesus so that when we need to use it, we have confidence in it. We're not just, speaking to the air. We know that when we use the name of Jesus, all heaven stands at attention. The angels are waiting to say, okay, what are we supposed to do? Wait. Oh, there was a believer over there. They used the name of Jesus in prayer. Okay, Father, that prayer has gone up into the throne room of grace. And Pastor Christine, she just referenced it, right? When we come into worship, it's so that we can enter the throne room and stay there. We're in the throne of grace. The throne of grace. And another way you can say grace is power available to you. So, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And this is a wonderful passage because there's so much in it about the Holy Spirit. And it is so vital that we learn how to pray more effectively so that we can get results. Somebody asked one time, well, what's the best kind of prayer? Again, it's the kind of prayer that gets the results. You want to get results. We don't just want to flap our gums because that what good is that? But the Holy Spirit is our help. All right. So let's go ahead there in verse 17. I'm sorry, verse 16. All right, here we go. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Another. That word, another, is one called alongside of the same kind. You know, growing up and in church and hearing people say, well, boy, I would have just loved to have been around when Jesus was around and walked with Jesus when Jesus was around. And I have news for you. If you're a New Testament believer, you've been born again by the Spirit of God. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is called alongside of you, inside of you, and alongside of you, and he's another one of the same kind. So if Jesus healed people, if Jesus raised people from the dead, this is why the context of John 14, when it says, the greater works shall you do, is possible when we tap into an impossible God. That he's an impossible God in the sense that he breaks down all the impossibilities, right? He breaks down all the impossibilities. And so it says here, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but, I love this, you know him. You know him. You know him. Oh, you know him. You know him, for he dwells with you. He dwells with you and will be, what? In you. He dwells with you. He lives with you. And he's right there. He's right there. Folks, this truth of the Holy Spirit being our help is so vital when you go to God in prayer. You know, I've heard Christians over my years, and I'm sure my wife has, and Brother Randy, and all of you who've been walking with the Lord for a long time, you probably have heard people say, well, I just feel like my prayers just kind of just go up to the ceiling, and then they fall down. Anybody ever heard that? Right? And maybe you felt that, and maybe you don't want to raise your hand, or maybe you do. I'll raise my hand. I felt that before. But when God's Word, the light of God's Word, comes along on the inside and the Holy Spirit shows you his Word, it's like somebody turns a light on. And it's God turning a light on the Scripture, and you go, oh, it's not about what I feel. It's about what he says. It's not about what I feel. It's about what he says. And that's why the Apostle Paul over there in Corinthians, he could say, for we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, we don't walk by what we can feel, what we can taste, what we can sense. We don't just live our faith life based on human knowledge and on human intellect. And that's why we have a movement right now among young people and even people who've been in the church for years. They're calling it deconstruction of my faith. What is that? It's like, what? What do you mean deconstruction of your faith? It literally is, and I'm just going to call it what it is, it's from the pit of hell. And it's getting people to literally renounce their faith. Because they're literally taking apart the faith that is down on the inside. And it was Jesus that said in John 20, 29, blessed they who believe and have not seen. And that was in context of dealing with Thomas, who wanted to feel it. He wanted to touch it. He wanted to see it. And he says, blessed are they. Blessed are they. So folks, the faith that is down on the inside, you've got to feed that faith with the Word of God. You've got to feed that faith with the Word of God and be in a family of fellowship that can keep encouraging you to walk that walk of faith. That's why it's vital to be a part of a local church, to be a part of a local church, to connect with a local church. And if you can't connect in person, connecting online, that's the next best thing. But what we want to do is want to connect. We want to always feed our faith. Say, feed your faith.
Feed your faith.
So John 14 tells us that, you know, the world doesn't understand the Holy Spirit, and he's our help in prayer. He is our help in prayer. Notice what Jesus said there. He said, the world, right, cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. All right? Why are we looking to the world to talk to us about faith and, quote, deconstruct our faith? Come on. And but you know him. I'm confident. Westchester Family Church, you know him. You've experienced him, right? You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And verse 18 says, I'll not leave you as orphans. I will come to you.
Thank you, Lord.
In a little while longer, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. You will see me because I live. You will live also.
Thank you, Lord.
At that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. This is the in him realities. When you get a revelation that nobody can ever take away, that Jesus in me is greater than any devil, than anything that the enemy has to throw at me. Because, listen, it's the greater one down on the inside. I have victory because I have the greater one. That is going to help you in your prayer life. The Holy Spirit wants to help you pray. He wants to help you pray. He wants to help you know what to pray for. Right? He wants to give you an understanding. Sometimes we dismiss things as just, oh, that's just me. I ate too much pizza. I didn't get a good night's sleep, and I'm just having this odd thought. And what happens is we let our intellect take over, where our spirit, by the Holy Spirit, is trying to get our attention. I've told you this before. God, when he speaks to you, he's not necessarily, now he can do this because he's God, okay? But he's not necessarily coming to you and going, you know, John, do this for me. Now, you might get that. If you get that, God bless you. I'm praying for you because that's a big thing when you get those big things, okay? All right? But most of the time when God's speaking to us, it is that still small voice. It is an image. It's a picture on the inside. The reason why we've been encouraging you to come to Fresh Oil Prayer Time is because this is a place where you learn to pray and you learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. He's going to talk to you in pictures. You might see a picture down on the inside. Then you give voice to whatever you're seeing. That's the Holy Spirit helping you in prayer. It's real easy. We've made it so complex. But if language creates words and images down on the inside, then how come God can't just do that while we're in a time of prayer? Of course he can. A face will come up before you and you'll start praying for them. A face will come up before you and you say, I need to give them a call. A face will come up before you and you just say, I need to give them a call. I need to pray for them. I need to just check on them. That's not happenstance. That is not an accident. That is not, you know, a coincidence. Right? That's not a coincidence. And I think for too long, part of the reason why I think sometimes we don't get better at hearing the voice of God is that we talk ourselves out of it. We talk ourselves out of it and say, well, no, that wasn't God. Or, I don't know if it was God or not. And listen, and if he's telling you to rob a bank, you know it's not God. Okay? See, anything that God shows you in prayer is going to line up with his word. It's going to always line up with his word. So you check it out with his word. That's how you check it out. Because the Holy Spirit's going to lead and guide you into what? All truth, right? And notice what it says here. It said that the Holy Spirit is known as the Spirit of truth, right? In verse 17. And then notice he goes on to, in verse, go down to verse 21. And he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. The Holy Spirit's not playing hide and seek.
That's right.
He's not playing hide and seek. He's your helper. Alright? He's your helper. He's not Casper the friendly ghost. Okay? He's not this mystical, he is part of the Godhead. He is God in spirit form. He's the God. He's the God of the universe coming to speak to us by His Holy Spirit. He'll lead and guide you. He will show you things to come. You're not praying alone. You are not praying alone. Now let's back up to verse 12 when it says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father.
Thank you, Lord.
And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified," hallelujah, "in the Son. So, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Anything in my name, I'll do it." So, God is telling us that the Holy Spirit is very much a part of this help in prayer. You're not praying alone. So I have a little illustration. You like my illustrations?
Yes.
Hopefully it'll help you a little bit. Okay? I think sometimes we feel like our prayer life is sort of like this glove. Now, by itself, the glove can't do anything. And I believe it was Jesus himself who said, "Without me, you can do nothing." But then over there in Philippians, the Apostle Paul says, "I can do everything in Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." How many of you have ever written that down in your Bible or put it on your mirror, right, when you're facing a hard time, right? It gives you strength, right? But how does he give you strength? He gives you strength in prayer through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, he will lead and guide you. The Holy Spirit is the one who lives on the inside. Now this can actually pick things up. This tool, like we're his vessel. And when he lives through us, things can happen. Things can change. We allow him to direct what's happening. And we just obey. We just obey. He is the strength. He's the hand inside the glove. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, "It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Therefore, glorify God in your mortal body." Right? Glorify God in your mortal body. That means more of you, Lord. More of you. More of you. God, I want to know you better. Show me something more. He's the force inside. He's the force inside of you. He is God Almighty living on the inside of you. Have you ever stopped to meditate on that? That the power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you? When you get a revelation of that and you start to, wait, that's mind-blowing. That's mind-blowing. So, when you are saying to God, "God, I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to know when you're moving. I want to jump in wherever you are," you will see miracles in your life. You'll see miracles in your workplace. You're going to see miracles. And when you pray, your prayers will be effective because the Holy Spirit will take hold of what you're supposed to pray for because you're listening to the Holy Spirit. "Oh, I'm supposed to pray for that?" Okay. You know exactly what you're supposed to pray for. And the Holy Spirit will bring that person up before you. And you're praying for them. Last year, I think I told you that I discovered a new cousin I didn't know I have. Right? And it was not by accident. I was at a conference and they literally were sitting next to me. And never met them. So this week, God put them on my heart. Actually, the last couple months have been on my heart, and I've just prayed for them. So I called him on the phone a couple days ago, and he's like, "That's funny. You were on our heart too." And they said, "We're praying for you, and we're praying for your church." I said, "Well, thank God. Thank God. This is what we're doing." They said, "Oh, that's cool. Now we know how to pray even more." See, what is that? That's the Holy Spirit leading and guiding into all truth. That's the Holy Spirit showing things to come. That's what he does. That's what he does. He helps us in our own human weakness to do things that are beyond, what we could ask, think, dream, or imagine, the Apostle Paul said, if we would just allow the Holy Spirit more reign in our life, we'll learn His voice better. And so as a young man, I would pray that prayer. God, I want to hear You when You whisper my name. And God has been bringing that prayer back up in me as almost 60-year-old from when I was not even barely 20 and I was praying that. I'm like, okay, God, I want to hear You when You whisper, even in a crowded room. If I am in the middle of my job that can be crazy where I work on a weekend, I want to be able to hear Your voice right then. I want to be able to hear Your voice in the middle of the chaos around me. How do we do that? We do that by developing our prayer life, allowing the Holy Spirit to be our helper, allowing Him to actually help us in prayer. D.L. Moody said something that was really, really, I thought, special. He said, the fact is, we're leaky vessels. I think I said that last week. Didn't know he said it. I found this week. And he says, we have to keep right under the fountain all the time to keep full of Christ and to have a fresh supply. We have been called to a great work of prayer on Resurrection Sunday. We've been called to a great work of prayer for this church, because God is asking us to cooperate with Him as He builds His church. This is not the Mitchells' church, just so you know. This is His church, all right? This is God's church. And yes, there are other brothers and sisters, our host church, that's God's church too. I'm telling you right now, it was God's idea to do business here and to establish Westchester Family Church. So it's His church. And unless the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. I don't know about you, but I don't want to labor in vain. I want to do what He tells us to do. So how do we do that? We let the Holy Spirit on the inside lead us and guide us into what we're supposed to be praying for. And what are we supposed to be praying for? Right now, He's directed us, fill this house. He's directed us, fill this house. And how do you do that? You fill this house first. Fill this house first. And then we do what D.L. Moody said. And we leak out. And then we just stay underneath the faucet. You just stay underneath the faucet. Just stay underneath the flow. Stay underneath the flow. Stay underneath the flow. But what do we do? Sometimes we get nervous. The Holy Spirit starts to talk to us. We get nervous. And then we shrink back. Was that God? That seems weird. Right? Or somebody actually spoke in tongues. And that scares us. Right? Because maybe we didn't grow up in a church that does that or did that. But I'm telling you right now, press in beyond the discomfort and ask the Holy Spirit to show you something. He is your help in prayer. He is your help in prayer. And ask Him about it. Say, God, show me in Your word. Show me in Your word. And let me tell you something. He will show you. He will show you the word of God on a subject. Healing. God, I'm just struggling. I believe in You for healing. He'll show you a subject. Finances. I'm just struggling to pay the... He'll show you a subject. He'll show you how faith works. That it comes and it starts in the heart. It is released with the mouth. And action, action, action. God is always looking for people of action, right? So in prayer, that's where we start. He's our help in prayer. He's our help in prayer. So I want to go back to James chapter 5, because that's kind of how we started today. James chapter 5. So now that we understand that the Holy Spirit is there as our helper, He's our advocate, He's our standby. And over there in James, when it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed or whole, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. This is a key to having a successful prayer life right here. Because fervent prayer, it says the effective, fervent prayer. So we're not praying, we're not just uttering words out of vain repetition. When you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you into prayer, you will be given the words you need to say. if you're praying in a known tongue. If you're praying in an unknown tongue, he'll give you those words too. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wants to direct the prayer. Remember the glove, right? He wants to direct the prayer. So he might have you praying for you know, he'll take you on adventures in prayer. Adventures in prayer. And there were times over there in Rhema, we would pray with Dad Hagen. He'd come over and he'd pray with us. And then we would just, all of a sudden, he'd be leading that prayer time. And we would go off in a direction. Sometimes we'd be praying for a country. We're like, okay, we're praying for a country. And you could just sense the Holy Spirit was directing and leading the prayer in a direction. In a direction. Okay, so we're going to go in this direction. And we begin to pray. And sometimes you're praying in other tongues. And then you're praying with the understanding. And then all of a sudden God will give you the interpretation of what you are praying. And then you'll know. Because you'll pray with the Spirit and you'll pray in the understanding. So James 5 says, he says that we're to confess our trespasses one to another, pray that you may be healed, and then he says the effective fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. That word fervent has to do with bold. It has to do with confidence. It has to do with white hot, passionate prayer. Not a, oh, I hope you do this, God. How many have ever heard people say, well, all we can do now is pray? As if it is like the worst choice. How many have ever said it? I've said it. I'm just confessing I've said it. It's not... I guess we're going to have to pray now. Hello? All we can do is pray. We have to stop saying that. We need to say, I'm going to pray first. I'm going to pray first. There's a situation, I'm going to pray first. There's a situation come up, let's pray about that. Sometimes you need to get there first. What do I mean by get there first? When the thought comes to you, oh, all we got to do is pray. That's all we can do now. It's just pray. Pray. And it almost sounds depressing. There's no faith in that. No, there's no faith in that. No. Remember what the book of Hebrews tells us, to come boldly before the throne of grace. So this passionate, fervent, white hot prayer comes in and comes in on the ground of God's word. It comes in on the ground of God's word and says, God, because your word says so, I'm coming into the throne of grace right now. And I'm coming in, God, I'm coming in to the throne of grace. And I know that I'm not here to get beat up. I'm here to receive help. And guess what the Holy Spirit's name is? The Helper? Hello? So the Holy Spirit, what's he going to do? He's going to lead you into the throne of grace. The Holy Spirit will lead you into a place of prayer that is bold. Instead of saying, well, all we can do is pray now. Or we just got to hope and pray. Just listen to how that sounds. Hope and pray. Keep your fingers crossed. Right? We got to quit stuff like that. Why? It's not effective. And first of all, keeping your fingers crossed, that's superstitious. We're not people of superstition. We're people of faith. We're people of boldness. We're people who have the God on the inside, the helper, the one called alongside, the one who directs us, who the power of the Holy Spirit comes on the inside. We're just his vessels. And if he says pray so that we can move a mountain, then we can move a mountain. And when he says pray and do the impossible, we can do the impossible. When he says pray for those that are sick, and they will recover, then that means I'm not waiting for pastor to pray for them. I'm not waiting for a leader to pray for them. I'm going to go and I'm just going to lay hands on somebody. And you say, I've never done that. You're a believer, right? Believers do what? They believe. That's really easy, right? It's not a trick question. Believers are supposed to believe, right? They believe what God says. The Holy Spirit will lead you into those things. I am so glad that, you know, even though I was raised with some traditions that are not really biblical, I was really glad that as a young teenage young man, I got a hold of some things that just made me a lot more bolder. A lot. Is that, did I do that right?
Sure.
My English teacher over here.
More bolder?
More bold. I got more bold. And so I literally...
But you're good.
I can be more bolder, right?
Yeah.
Right, Ron? That's much more betterer, too. Okay, so I got more bold in prayer. I got more bold in doing what God was asking me to do. And so as a high school, you know, student, if God directed me to pray for somebody, I'm saying, can I pray for you? I still do that today, and it blows people's minds, especially if they're not church folk. You just do it. You just don't even let your mind talk you out of it. Because it's the Holy Ghost on the inside that led you to do it in the first place. So just open your mouth and give voice to what the Holy Ghost told you to do. And don't let your mind throw a roadblock. What are they going to think of you? They're going to think you're one of those crazies. Right? They know you go to this church anyway. They think we're crazy anyway. So just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. They were called Christ-like. That was actually an insult, they thought. The reason why is because they did things that Jesus did. They laid hands. Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful, what did they say? Gold and silver have I none, but what I have, I give you. Do you think they thought about that for a second? Should I do this? They crucified our Lord for doing stuff like this. John, what do you think? They didn't allow themselves to be talked out of what the Holy Spirit was leading them to pray. And God will lead you into the miraculous. When you step out in faith, the Holy Spirit on the inside will lead you into the impossible. And you will see God do absolutely mind-blowing things right there. Right there in your midst, on the workplace. So open your mouth. Allow what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. And, you know, we saw the video, right? The guy is sweating bullets, right? Just to simply ask. But God is going to speak to you about certain people to invite to church that need a family. They might be believers and just not connected to a church. And God's asking you to invite them to be a part here. And God, there may be some that are away from God. I believe we're in a day where God is bringing back the prodigals. He's visiting. He's visiting young people. He's visiting them without even any church involvement. They're getting hungry for the things of God. That's why we have to be full of the Holy Ghost so that we can pour out on them and their hunger and their thirst will be satisfied because you are an instrument of the Holy Spirit. And that's God calling us to be bold. That's God calling us to take what He says in prayer and step out and just step out and do what He says do. And notice what it said, the effective, fervent, white hot. In other words, that's what fervent means. Think about white hot. A couple years ago, the men went and we made knives, right? Remember that, guys? We made knives and you would heat up the metal until it turned white. It went from red to white. It was white hot. That's what that word means when it says fervent. So our fervency in spirit, the Holy Spirit will give you that power to you tap into Him. He'll take you places. Remember, He's the one. He's got the power. He's got it. And you tap into it. You just follow. You're just like the glove. You just wherever. Okay, here we go. Going over here, talking to this person. Going over here, talking to this one. The Holy Spirit's our help in prayer. Let Him help you in prayer this week. This week, you're going to see results. You're going to get results. You're going to get results because you listen down on the inside. Already, I know this to be fact. I won't tell you who or how. But already, some people who have been invited have already confessed and said, wow, I was just praying about feeling down and low, and you called or you texted. And God is on the move, and let's get in there with him. Let's get in there with him. Let's cooperate. He's still waiting for you to cooperate. He's waiting for you to cooperate. And so it's you cooperate with him in prayer. He'll lead you in prayer. He'll lead you in that place, of that place that says, okay, what am I supposed to pray for? What am I supposed to pray for? Well, I can tell you an assignment our church has, and that is to fill this house. Fill this house double by the end of the year. And you say, is that just about numbers, Pastor? I've been about to part of church, and it just feels like it's all about numbers. God's about numbers. He's got an entire book called Numbers. God likes things to grow. He counts things. He is an accurate counter. He knows. And so because he knows the hair on your head, even the ones that fell off this morning, he knows how many there are. Okay, he knows how many there are. He counts things. And when he's involved something, he wants it to grow. So, are you with me? The Holy Spirit's our helper. So this week, we have 21 days from this point. 21 days. God has given us Reverend Ennis with some amazing tools back there that we can invite people. And it's easy, and it protects their anonymity, their privacy. It's easy. It's high tech. You scan QR codes. And if you're not high tech, you can still fill it out. We've got it all covered. And we're filling this house. Amen? Filling this house. And that's on the natural side here at the church. But what about your house? What about your vessel? Fill me, Lord. Fill me. Renew me. Stay under the spout, like D.L. Moody said. Stay under the spout. Just as he's pouring it out. Lord, I'm right here. Just keep pouring it out. Keep pouring it out. Keep pouring it out. Because as he pours out on you and you're receiving it, all the junk that has tried to attach itself to you goes, and you find freedom like you've never found before. You're going to find your voice, and you're like, I didn't know I could be that happy and joyful. And I'm telling you, depression can't stay. Sickness can't stay. I mean, it's just, God just, it just has to fall off. It can't stay. It can't stay in the presence of God. And when you are cooperating like that, I'm telling you what, watch out, Westchester County. Watch out, Mount Kisco. Westchester Family Church is growing. Westchester Family Church is growing. We're seeing families. We're seeing people. We're seeing teenagers. We're seeing seniors. We're seeing the whole body of Christ coming together. We're seeing a diverse group of people that love Jesus. And it's making a difference. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us today. You are our help. Father, I pray, God, that if there's anybody in here who's discouraged, they feel away from God. If there's anybody online that's watching and they feel away, God, I pray that you would just draw them back because you're that good. Lord, I thank you that your word says that it's the goodness and the kindness of our Father that leads a man or a woman to repent. And so, Father, we just exalt your goodness. We exalt your kindness. And, Father, I thank you that you're causing people to come to you in the name of Jesus, that people are coming to you because you're good. You're that good. You're so good. And so, Father, I thank you that as ambassadors, as instruments that you can use, Lord, that you would just pour out on your people, that they would be so full of God, God, that you would draw them in the name of Jesus. And now, Father, I'm just going to pray for these folks that are here, and maybe if you're online, if you have been away from God or you feel like God's a million miles away and you just want that relationship with him, maybe you had it at one time, maybe you never had it, But you want to come close to Him. You want to receive Jesus into your life. Maybe it's afresh and anew. Maybe you're rededicating your life. Maybe you're just getting born again for the first time. If that's you, I want you to raise up your hand in this place and say, I want to be born again, or I want to come back to God. If that's you, go ahead and raise up your hand. Is there anybody at all? I'm just going to wait for a moment. Maybe you're online there and you're watching and that's you. You can participate with us right here. And God will meet you right in your living room, right wherever you are. All right, praise God. What we're going to do is we're going to all pray together a simple prayer of rededication and being born again. And if that's you, just believe with us. Just turn that switch of faith on. In other words, agree with the prayer. Say it out loud with your mouth, and God will meet you right where you are. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you.
We
believe
in the name of
Jesus that Jesus
is who he said he
is, that he died for my sins,
that he was raised from the dead,
and I call Jesus my Lord and Savior. From this day on,
I believe
that he forgives me of my sins and sets me free
in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to just let us know. Message us on Facebook, a Messenger app. If you were here in this place, you wanted to raise your hand, you didn't raise your hand, but you really wanted to, I want you to go ahead and I want you to let us know that's you. You're coming back to God, or you are receiving Jesus for the first time. I believe God wants to minister to you. We want to give you some things to help you in your walk with God. As we dismiss, I'm going to be available if you need prayer for any extra things that are going on in your life. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I want you just to come up here. I'll just be here. I know we've got fellowship over here and all of that, but just come up over here. I want to pray for you. And I believe God's going to meet you right where you are. Okay, so let's stand. Let's have our closing verse right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It says, and the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. You are dismissed.